this week on the Nervous Record.
So Chuleta, he indicates his penis with his hands. He was trying to say that urine would get it out. Now,
I would do it if there was a fucking bug in my ear.
I'm Amanda Sox, and you're listening to The Nervous Record, where each week I talk to the girl from my high school that was institutionalized about how she's doing 15 years later.
I got confirmation that we achieved one of our goals that we set out to achieve with this podcast, which was that somebody that I know texted me yesterday that they were on a long road trip and they had binged all of our podcast episodes and they had been very anxious about driving after dark, and making her laugh while she was driving lessened her anxiety.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. And I got a text message from her this morning saying that she bought gummy bears on the road. Yeah. I warned her ahead of time. I was like, I mean, just so you know, like, we say the F word a lot and there's some very crass content.
We're graphic in like all of the components.
Yeah, which is really funny because we're both very modest people.
Yeah, we're not
gross people. Like, no. In the world, I feel like people aren't like, she's got a mouth on her, that smutty mouth. And I said, I'm going to text you which ones are my favorites. And I texted you to try and get some insight, and you did not respond. And so I was like, she hates our podcast, I guess.
Texts are the worst for me because I see it and I honestly think about it. But then those thoughts lead me to a million other different places. So I forget about the text at hand.
Oh God, I see. I wish that that was the case with me. I get a text message and it's all that I can focus on for the next day and a half is how am I going to respond to this text message?
Really?
What did it mean? What did the punctuation mean? Why was there not a question mark at the end of it?
Oh.
What about this word usage? It's like analyzing every little iota of detail when I shouldn't be, because it's like just a question from you saying, what time are you getting here tonight? And I'm thinking like, why? What time does she think she wants you to get there?
Oh my God.
Leah, she probably pads it up and tells you, you know, come at 7 because she knows then you're going to get there at 7:45. And so,
I will say that I usually say a time, say it's 7. I go ahead and unlock the door just in case I get sidetracked. And so my intention is to start at 7, but I always know that there is a window of time in which you might not be there.
Yeah. 48 hours. I can't remember who it was that said, but a great person once said, there's no greater feeling than canceling plans.
So I worked this temp job for a company that goes into hospitals and does inventory for them. And so, like, we go into some type of storage room, a shelf has a barcode, we scan it into our iPads, and then we, like, go from left to right and back to front. So, when they're describing things in our training, because we had to train, too. We had an hour training at the Courtyard Marriott. They bring us scrubs to put on.
Cool.
And they're like, you're going into sterilized rooms, like, you have to wear a hairnet thing and the shoe covers.
Yeah.
So he sends me and another girl into this room, and I don't really understand it. It doesn't look like a storage room, what I was expecting, like, a supply closet to look like.
Yeah.
We've just got, like, these two, like, metal tool chest drawer looking things. And, so we're like, all right, which one do you want? I was like, I don't know. This one says femur plate. That sounds exciting. So we start sorting through it, and I'm first sorting all of these screws. The next row, I start getting into plates. And I start putting the pieces together, like, oh, these are pieces to put people together. That's for a tibula. This is for a clavicle. Like,
yeah, you're like, what I'm holding is exactly going to be in somebody's body.
In somebody's body. And then I started getting to drill bits.
Oh, did you think of skull fucking?
No, I didn't think of skull fucking, Leah.
Oh, okay.
So the drill bits, all I'm thinking, like, this drills into bone. And I could just, like, feel it boring into bones.
Skulls.
Which got to my next section, okay, which was craniofacial,
oh,
like,
my God,
plates. And I was thinking of Pete and Pete. And I was thinking, because the mom had a steel plate in her head, I just felt things being screwed into my skull. And so that's kind of freaking me out a bit. And I'm like, whew. There's kind of like a plexiglass wall. And there's a guy back there with a face mask on, like a welder's mask, but clear.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like all suited up.
Like a biohazard kind of thing?
Yes. And he's got like in a cafeteria, like one of those big old water sprayers.
Yeah.
And he's like holding a giant pair of forceps and spraying those off. And then I realized the carts that people have been bringing in are carts of, like, the metal, like, tools that doctors have been using in surgery, and that this guy is spraying them off. So this is the noises that I've been hearing, and now I can't not think about it as I'm sorting through.
Did you take one? Did you take something?
No!
You didn't want to take a screw or something?
No! I just counted them. They cost a lot of money. This whole thing, like the whole process of what we were doing was supposed to save money. You know, they're like, oh, if you have good inventory, then things aren't going to expire and you're going to know what you have. You don't overbuy. You're going to save money.
This is a Lutheran hospital?
It's not a Lutheran hospital, St. Francis.
So a couple things that I thought of, well, when you said forceps, it makes me think about a relevant thing, which we kind of talked about last week a little bit, was it's, I think, tomorrow or the 28th. When's the 28th? Like a few days from now is my moth anniversary.
The moth pee in the ear story.
Well, the moth didn't pee in my ear. I mean, I guess it did. I guess the moth did all of it in my ear. And this is, like, the first time, this is the first time I've ever, I think, told this moth story.
Because it's so traumatic.
To you.
Oh, to me.
It's fucking awful. No, I mean, it's, it's part of my first date canon. I like to tell all the bug stories and just get them right out of the way on the first date. Literally, when I went on my first date with Brian, I just talked about lice for a really long time. Not just lice, my lice that I had.
You don't know my lice?
So, I think I've told you, like, bits and pieces, which is funny because, incidentally, that's how the moth was when they took it out of my ear. I was in Costa Rica, and I'm living in this shipping container, and one of the main components of this is, like, a mosquito net that's up around the bed, but and you didn't really want it hanging there all day because there was, like, no ventilation already, and so you just kind of wanted everything up out of the way so that any kind of air could flow freely.
Mm-hmm.
But at night, like, every night, I was very diligent about using this mosquito net.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I was just, like, laying like broccoli. Like, I was so tired.
Did you say laying like broccoli?
Yeah.
That's an expression?
Yeah. You know, like you're vegging. You're vegging out.
Like all right.
Like a broccoli? No?
Cool.
Okay. And I was so tired. I was like, fuck, I just want to reach back. I'm going to turn out my little light. I had a little clip light that attached to the headboard of the bed.
Yep.
And so I did that, and I think I was doing something on my laptop there in the dark, in my computer. So the light was nearest to me. And, you know, I would always see moths and stuff like that flying around. And so, and I always have bugs on me all the time. Bugs love me. They love me. I don't know what it is.
I'm a hit with the bug.
And it was just like zinging, or, you know, flitting around my face, whatever you want to call it, buzzing around my face and stuff. And I was just kind of swatting it. And then it was like, before I really could even register, this is happening for real, I feel it on the side of my face, and I kind of swat at it, and I feel it crawl into my ear.
You felt it happen?
Did you think I just woke up with it in my ear?
Yes.
Like, it happened while I was sleeping?
Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Way worse. Yeah,
no, this is, okay. See, this is why. No, that's like a way boring story if I just woke. I mean, that is a nightmare if you were to wake up and have a moth in your ear. But no, I felt it go into my ear.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like reaching, and I was trying to get it. I couldn't even hardly feel it. And I was like, fuck, what do I do? And I was like, I need tweezers. And so I go to the next shipping container over to my friend Christopher. He's already sleeping. I feel super terrible about it, but I'm like, hey, Christopher, do you have any tweezers? Can I borrow them? And he didn't have any. And he's like,
who goes to the jungle without tweezers?
And so he was like, honey, what's wrong? And I was like, there's a moth flew into my ear and I need tweezers. So he was like, okay, don't panic. Now, while this is happening, the moth is alive and I can feel it buzzing in my ear. And like, it's in kind of a superficial place in my ear. We went to see the night guard, Chuleta, which is Spanish for pork chop, by the way. And he was like creepy, but I also think that's just part of the nature of like being a night guard, you know, you just lurk around in the dark. So, but he didn't speak any English, and I spoke remarkably little Spanish. But even if I was fluent, like, I was losing my faculties very quickly, panicking. And
can you hear it?
Oh yeah. No, I mean, it's like, do you know when you hear like a fire truck go by or something that's very loud, and you want to plug your ear? Like, it was like that.
Constant?
At first, kind of on and off. So Chuleta starts talking to Christopher. I don't know what he's saying, but he indicates his penis with his hands. So he was trying to say that urine would get it out. Now, there is no such...
I would do it if there was a fucking bug in my ear and that was the way to get it out.
I'm like, he's not putting urine in my ear. I'm crying. I'm like, if we could just find a pair of tweezers and this would be fine. So Chuleta's idea, I guess, is that he's going to fill my ear with water and I'm going to flip my head and it's going to flush it out. It's just going to kind of
Okay, that moth's so maybe I was giving her too much credibility. Like, did she just come up with the idea of urine?
This was a he.
Oh, I'm sorry. He.
Yeah, he's a creepy old night guard. Chuleta, pork chop.
Ear? Is it weird that, like, I would trust it if it was a woman to have the pee in my ear? But if it was a man, I'd be like, creepy old night guard. No
I way. Probably would be the same. I really was at the point of, like, yeah, I would let anybody try anything. So when he puts the, I think it made it worse, because when we put the liquid in my ear, I think it actually forced the moth deeper.
Which makes sense that maybe you should have had somebody just fart into your ear and then the moth would be like, no, and fly out.
No.
Okay, well, I did find the place where I draw the line, and somebody farting into my ear is definitely it. I would so much sooner put a penis in my ear than let somebody fart in my ear. Are you serious? That's the sickest thing I've ever heard in my life.
The liquid pushed it further. I was trying to think of something that
was
like...
So then he was like, let's just use straight up alcohol. Let's see if the alcohol does it. So with the alcohol, I felt the moth die? Breathe its last.
Oh my God.
I felt it die.
You felt it die?
It buzzed out. It had ruptured my tympanum. Well, no, I'm actually not sure that it was the moth that ruptured my tympanum. But I felt the moth die. And it's a drum.
A timpani is a drum.
No, a timpani is plural for drums. A timpano is a single drum. Fun fact.
And a tympanum?
A tympanum is a part of your head.
All right, it's your eardrum.
But I can tell you, it is a profound existential feeling when you feel something that has been alive in you.
For how long?
For maybe 45 minutes.
Oh my God.
When you feel it die.
Oh my God.
So I've got to go. There's no choice. I've got to go to the hospital. Now, we're not in a city or it's like 30 kilometers
mm-hmm.
on a road that is so scary that we would drive in the river by choice because the river was less scary than the road. We get to Puerto Jimenez. So my friend Christopher,
mm-hmm.
shout out to Christopher because I know he listens to our podcast.
And woo!
He's wonderful. And so, incidentally, he was from Raleigh, and he was another volunteer. He was friends with my sister's hairdresser, I think, or something. So it was just, like, very strange to be, you know, in this remote place in the jungle and just meet a person that knows a person that knows a person that I know. But he spoke a functional amount of Spanish, and so he drove me to the hospital. First of all, the guy, the surgeon guy, mm-hmm. it's clear that we've woken him up
mm-hmm.
because when he walks into the room, the doctor, he's like wiping his eyes and rubbing his brow mm-hmm. and looking at us like we were dicks, like mm-hmm. to interrupt his evening. He looked down with the ear looker, you know, ear telescope mm-hmm. And he says, cucaracha. Like, I know it was not a cucaracha. It was definitely a moth. Basically tells Christopher, I don't think that I have the tools to get this out, but I can try. So I let him try until blood started coming out of my ear.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
And I know you don't like the use of the word hysterical, but
you had lost your damn mind.
I've lost my fucking mind at this point. So Christopher, he stopped the doctor. The doctor basically then says that my ear now is too inflamed to do anything. The best thing that I could possibly do is go home, get some rest, and come back in the morning. Which, get some rest is the most fucking hilarious thing ever to hear from somebody.
Yeah.
When you're like, yeah, I'm gonna go sleep knowing that there's just a dead bug abiding in my head.
Dead bugs abiding. Yeah, that's like when my water broke at 2 a.m. and midwife is just like, all right, try to get some sleep. And I'm like, it's a baby clawing its way out of my body right now.
Clawing? Her nails looked really cute tonight, by the way.
They were
her
so cute. They were a rainbow.
Rainbow. Fingers of Pride Week.
It's Pride Week, yeah.
That ties into this story, this moth story. I spend this whole entire evening with this bug dead in my head. Just, I mean, plug up one ear and then just be that way for a while. It's really terrible because you just feel this pressure. And I'm not able to communicate about my own situation at all, and that is very scary and very anxiety provoking. Mm-hmm. But I actually think by that time I was in a almost zombie like state.
Yeah, you have to like tune out.
Yes, I had to like go outside of my body.
Mm-hmm.
We had to fly to San Jose that day. There's a picture of me and Christopher on the back of the airplane, and I look like a dead person. Like, I look like I've been embalmed. Stare. Yeah. You can see that the life has left my body.
Mm-hmm.
And life came right back into my body. So, you know how when you fly, your ear pops?
Oh, my God.
So when we're in the plane, literally every single time we change pressure and my ear popped, it was like being stabbed in my eardrum. But I don't want to raise my voice and seem agitated because Christopher, who's been like Sir Lancelot through this whole entire thing, is nervous about flying. And also it's one of those small planes that like everybody except for me, because I'm cool like that, is nervous to be on a plane that's that small. And so we get to San Jose and the specialist, I mean, at first, so what he used was, they were called alligator forceps.
Mm.
And so it was a pair of forceps that like the clampy part
mm-hmm.
was several inches long. He pulled out at first it little by little, like just little pieces by pieces. And I mean, he didn't give me any anesthesia or anything like that. And oh so God. I'm just literally lying there on the table. When he went to do, and I guess this is like the closest thing maybe ever to birthing a baby that I'm going to experience, because when he did... Christopher saying, okay, this is like the last.
This is the head.
This is the last one. Like, okay. This is the last one. Or here we go. Hold
Here's
on.
The shoulders.
You know? Yeah. When he finally got deep enough and I could feel him like unplugging, like pulled out the rest of the body. So this moth came out in like 5 or 6 pieces. But when he did the last one, that is the one time in my life that I'm like, oh, endorphins or something like that, one of those onans, yeah. You know, kicked in my brain, because I just started laughing. Christopher's like trying to calm me down, but it was so weird, like something was surging through my body. So yeah. Then he was like, do you want to keep it? Ha ha ha. And I got a picture with it.
Oh my God.
So of course in the picture it's all in little pieces.
Should have kept the moth. I mean, can you imagine when you're 100?
But you can barely tell it's a bug, because, I mean, it was washed with, you know, water and alcohol. And so it was just kind of like a torso that was kind of crispy and falling apart. And the next day, flew back. And you would think, like, that shit like this, like, I would believe it by now. But I was just, I could not believe what we had just gone through. Felt so indebted to this person. I would have been fucking screwed without mm-hmm. him. And I mean, not just, oh, he was my mouthpiece, but he also is like a very compassionate and calming presence.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was, until he got on the airplane, then he was like a little woman. But I was super fortunate that that was who was with yeah. me. And we got back to Blue Osa that day and staged a gay wedding.
Fantastic. Happy Pride, everyone.
Happy Pride Week. So, can we call this episode the Moth Podcast?
Yes.
And then people Google search for the Moth Podcast. They'll get confused. And they'll listen to us instead. And they'll be like, this is storytelling at its prime.
Next time on The Nervous Record.
So, you're just watching too much porn. You're hallucinating that your husband is a topless lady. And don't you put this on bipolar, people, by the way. That's just your sick mind. That's you.
Hey, I want to take a quick second just to mention our Facebook page. Please go and like us on Facebook. Follow us. See what's up. Engage with us. You can, like, post stuff to us. That's how Facebook works, right? I don't know. Just go and do it. And then tell all your friends to do the same thing. That's Facebook @The Nervous Record. Thanks.